So in my mind, I was always, I'll work for 1 year, I'll go back to school for 1 year, I'll have a master's degree. Yeah. But then the more I think about it, I'm like, I don't know if I want to go to the same school. Because it's a lot more money. I don't get the same amount of scholarship. I could have like made my way there. But
yeah.
And I had like really good relationships with professors there. And it was going to work out. But I was like, I don't know if that's what I want to do. And then with all of that, and I was kind of accepted. Like, all I had to do was like, hey, I want to come back.
Just go through the process, yeah, basically.
Yeah, go through the process. But so then my bosses, they sat with me. We called like international affairs at school. Mm. They're like, we just want her to work for 1 more year. Yeah. What do we need to do?
Is it possible? Yeah.
They're like, there's nothing. Honestly, there's nothing with the new regulations. Yeah. And then like green card was not really like a thing like that.
Right away. Yeah.
So yeah, I was like, I have to leave the country. Basically, it's almost like I got deported, but it's like my OPT ran out and I couldn't go to school. So yeah. That's when I packed up.
You have to go.
Everything. And yeah, I was devastated. I think this is when I was like crying every day, because I was like, I worked so hard for this and then I'm losing it. Because I don't know when I'll ever go back to grad school.
Right.
It kind of feels like those high school days when you mentioned like what's again, next? What's and then now it's like, it's kind of like,
why is it always at this stage?
At this stage, man.
But I also had to put on a brave face and be like, oh my God, like, what are you doing? I was like, yeah, so I've decided to go back home and build the country.
Yeah.
In a way, yeah, but also, like, I didn't really decide. I was forced to leave the country.
It wasn't my choice.
It's like, yeah.
Like,
wow.
Yeah. So then June, I think I moved back. I remember it was an election year in Rwanda.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I moved back in June or July, I think July.
Yeah.
Because my OPT, July, yeah. July, I get back home. I sit there.
Probably 2017, probably.
Yeah, 2017.
Yeah.
Get there. Like, this is when I'm like, depression central. What the
hell do I do? Yeah.
What am I doing with my life? I got to find a job here.
Yeah.
But also, am I going to go to grad school? That was like, because the only way that I could get through, because again, none of my friends, none of you guys were there.
Yeah.
So now I'm moving back to Rwanda in a place where all my friends are not there.
Yeah.
And some of them started to move back a little. What would come after, like?
It was
after.
Like, yeah, it was. Yeah. Not everyone was coming right away. Yeah.
And it's been what, like 6 years? Cause
Yeah, 2011. 2012, yeah.
Almost 6 years.
Now you have to adjust the system.
Because
you've only been here for that's
a way of thinking that's very different.
Yes.
And like, again, having been here for so young, like long and young,
like, I'm
I grew up here.
Yeah, you become from a teenager to an adult, young adult
and
in the U.S.
And my thinking is all different. And now I'm like, I reached out. I was like, family friend knew somebody who like owned an architecture place.
Back home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So reached out to them, but also in the meantime, I emailed the place that I had interned at.
Debutaro. Yes. Like,
I was like, hi.
I'm back.
I don't know if you remember me, but I interned here in 2014, now 2017.
I designed this chair, by the way.
You know, like, I had a great time, and I'm here and looking for work.
And here's my updated resume.
Yeah, I was like, here's my resume and my portfolio.
Yeah, nice.
Like, yeah, of course we remember you. Like, you should stop by and, like, talk to us.
Sure.
I was like, sure. So now I go, and guess where they were? They're at Kigali Heights.
Nice. They like moved on to different, like,
they went from like small, like, you know, mom and pop type company to like that's what I was like.
The chairs is what they were sitting on.
Still,
that's me right there.
You know,
I know.
You know what? I walked in there. I was like, I know this.
I did that. Yes,
yes.
And they had gotten them made multiple times.
Ooh.
I was like, ooh,
this is my blueprint.
Now we're talking.
Yeah.
Yeah. So like and some of them were now like, it was like almost like 60 people from whatever age.
From like seven, eight.
Yeah, and people that lived downstairs and came to work down. Yeah.
I was like, wow, okay. I was like, this is good. I kind of interviewed with them, and then they're like, right, we'll let you know. And then I interviewed the other place, and they're like, yeah, we'll give you a job. Like,
that's amazing.
Yeah. So I was like, oh yeah, sweet. Like, I saw the money. I was like, oh my God.
You have
time to be alive.
I'm listening to your journey. Like, it's like this. It's like highs and lows. Yeah, like, yeah, man, no, like
plateau. It's just up and down, up and down.
When
like,
it's high, it's high.
I was like, this is doable.
And so you're then, Rwanda, you still live with your parents.
I'm in Rwanda. I live with my parents. And I mean, I wasted my money because all I did was restaurants.
Yes.
Because the thing is, like,
living life.
Yeah.
It feels like Kenny when he was kidding when he went back, he was like
Bill Gates Jr.
That's what he called himself. He said he sold his car for like $3,000 and went home and he spent it like in like 4 months. He was gone.
Yeah, which I have a question for you.
Yeah,
right now, like, you're one of the few people that had the experience to work here in America.
Mm-hmm.
go home and actually get to work for something that is actually like, hey, I'm doing something that I like and I'm getting paid. How is the culture in terms of job compared, like contrast? What's the contrast between here and there?
So here, it's kind of, because I was living on my own here.
Yeah.
So I, like, I have bills to pay.
Big factor, yes.
Like, even though I do enjoy what I'm doing, but at the end of the day, I got to cover
my bills. Yeah.
I own myself, I own my schedule, but I got to cover the bills.
Yeah.
So I would show up to work. Some of it, I was like, it's not so glamorous, but it's like, it's work. You got to do it.
Got to do it.
And then they knew that I was there for about a year, so they, you know, try to put me on stuff that was helpful for me. So, but again, at the end of the day, I'm also at the bottom, so I got to help whatever way I can.
Yeah.
But then when I get home, I'm like living with the parents.
Yeah.
But my thing is, because I was so, and I don't know how to say it, but I was just in a low place. All I had was work.
Yeah.
Because I don't, like, my friends are not there.
No, yeah, nobody, yeah.
And so whoever I meet, I'm going to meet at work.
Yeah.
And there were Americans there that worked there, so that kind of who,
connect immediately.
In a way, I connected with them, but also, I'm also Rundin. So it was like this weird thing where like the Rundin is like,
you can connect with them
because you can, and I don't want to come off as like experience. Like proud.
You feel like you feel like you're better than us because you're hanging out with the Americans that you connect more with, because that's,
but even them it's only half connection because it's like, I know the guy, but
they're not from there, but it's like, I, because like I connect with you culturally on the way because I've just spent like 6 years or whatever in a country, but then again I'm also home. What is home?
Yeah, nobody that has the same experience.
So now I'm like stuck in the middle. It's like, oh yeah, she's just gonna hang out with like the Americans.
That's a good perspective to
but
have,
I'm also, but then like people would have conversations. I'm like, I don't really think like that anymore.
Yeah.
The whole like, it's like, I understand.
I feel you.
By all means, like have kids. But I'm like,
yeah.
There's also other things that I could do, and that's not something
like,
that I
can
want
usually
to,
like back home. Like that's the mentality or the mindset. Like this, you go to high school, you graduate, go to university. 2 years you work and then you get married. Like, that's the path.
But sometimes they're like, maybe I want to own a home. They're like, as a woman? And I'm like,
yeah, why not?
Yeah. They're like, oh my God, you never find a husband. I'm like, that's not the, like,
the goal, that's is not the end goal.
Or they'll stab you with like a little thing like, hey, like, what was I going to say? Like, you become American.
Yeah.
You have been,
you have become so American. Like, it's like a very, like, it's like, it's so much of a,
I just lived there. What did you think was going to happen?
It's a backhanded compliment. Like, they'll say, it's like, you become American, you've evolved, but like, not in a good way.
After a while, it was not a compliment anymore.
Yeah.
Here she starts again. I'm like, I don't know. Like,
what else do you want me to say?
I was sent there. I literally did what I was sent to do, which is learn and think critically. And now that I'm critically talking to you,
Were also that some of them your family members that were also
some of them were, because it was like, all right, like you've done everything. Now, like, please,
I haven't done anything. I just literally just touched.
I just finished school.
Yeah,
like I haven't done a single thing other than just get a degree.
Because I've seen like I've been exposed to what could be my life, like what I want to do.
Yeah.
And I haven't
now that I have a job, they're like, the only logical next step is get married and have babies.
What's that?
And I'm like, I'm a child. Please leave me out of this. Like, I'm not about to be a child bride.
And
but
this is very good because if you like, we never really got to explain the name of the podcast, like the Borderless Minds podcast, Realities of an International Student. Like, the word borderless, it's just because once you travel from whatever you are, whoever, or a country, I'm not just saying Rwanda, it's anybody that just gets to travel. And the amount of things you get exposed to, it changes your mind. It's amazing. Right. It's insane. It's culturally shocking. It's like you just discover how people have a different ways of living. And that just expands your mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's the thing.
If you're open to it.
If you're open to it. Once you resist it, trust me.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to have
you're
going to
be set in your way.
And these are things we're trying to connect between the borderless minds of people that have been had the privilege, because it's still a privilege to be here.
It is the biggest privilege.
And these are the but guess what? It's just not the only thing. There is a reality. Hence, realities of an international student. It's like, let's talk about the actual realities that people start thinking about. Hey, you, she, he's in America. But do you know what I have to go through? But guess what? It's got exposed to this. So how do we connect between, how do we bridge that gap between about how people see people in America or how they think we see people in Rwanda? Because trust me.
What's the perception and what's the reality? Perception.
Yeah. Like, let's talk about this. Tell you our lives, express like it's people like you. Seriously, you and the people that come here gets to expose to that. That kind of helps achieve that goal. And thank you once again. I know we're still in the middle, but I still
Thank
you
because
this has been just
You're a good storyteller. I gotta tell. Yeah, I gotta give you that. Like
mind blowing. Like, because we still saw you. I lived in DC for a little bit, and then I left. I would come here. I would see each other, but I have no idea what's going on.
Just like, I saw Kelly the other day. Like, that's it.
This is doing big things.
Meanwhile,
I'm like, bro, I just had frozen rice.
Yes.
No, but this is super needed because people are so blind to the realities of what it is to be in America, and again, so far from everybody and alone.
Yeah.
And it, yeah,
you're just there. It's like, you're touching now. Like, you've lived here, you've worked here. Now you're going back home, and you started being exposed to how people just want to see you do. Like, go do this, but nobody's asking you, like, what do you want to do? Everybody's just telling you this is expected.
It's like onto the next,
onto the next step. Guess what? Back home, once you do that, these are the things.
Yeah,
you need
that's
to,
what you gotta
what?
Do. And I'm like, and nobody's like, by the way, how are you doing? You left so abruptly.
Because I don't even think they know even how to ask for that. Like, how to ask you that? Yeah. Like, it's like you you're supposed to. Hey, you have a roof over your head. You have food. Yeah. You should be okay.
He keeps saying in the better word where he say, "Urachyarumwana." You don't know what you're talking about. You're still a kid. Like, once you start speaking, it's like.
Like
dismissive, like immediately, it's like you don't know what you're talking about. Yeah. You should go do that. Yeah. So they don't know, how
better.
To approach.
Like I'm a parent, I know
as
better.
A parent,
which
or as whoever.
It's like you don't know better, actually. I'm a full human going through all these things.
I'm figuring it out. Mm-hmm.
So that, and I think that's the other thing is there was such a, and it's like no offense to anybody. There was just such a huge shift between when I came at like 16, because now I had to regulate my own emotions. I had to like take care of me,
because
I couldn't go to my parents or friends.
Nobody's understanding.
So now, like, there's already that divide between, like, if I have a problem, I don't. I would go to my parents if I lived there. Now, if I have a problem, it's
you have to deal with
it's
yourself.
Back to me.
Yes, it's like.
So now I'm moving back home, and I'm having all these like feelings, and obviously, it's gonna show up. Like, it might come up as like, oh, usigawito, and they're like, you're so quiet, you're so this,
but, like,
you're so standoffish.
Like,
and I'm like, I'm going through it, but I can't talk about it because there's so much backstory that you would have to understand. And now it just seems like I don't get along with anybody. So now I'm like, what can I do? I can work and then I can go eat out. So guess what
I see. So it's like your coping mechanism.
So my coping mechanism is spending money at the restaurant. I can tell you every single restaurant in that city when I was there. I was like, yeah, I've been there. Like up and down.
Wow.
And they're like, what are you doing? I'm like,
even though like we're talking about like perception, like to some people it may look like Kelly is like, she's an American, she just came here, she got a great job, she's like living life.
So
versus like for her, her reality is like she's this is her coping mechanism, this is where how she can like
and that was the smallest thing that I could equate to America.
America.
Because it's like the restaurant culture. I'm like, I don't know, I'm just learning new cuisines. But but then again, like some of the American coworkers were doing the same thing. So I'm like, at least there's like
something.
Because that's what, that was my new, that was my home. That is like the closest thing I could do to feel like I'm home, even though I am home.
An adult,
So I like drown myself in work, honestly. Because that's the only thing I can control is work. And the least amount I can spend thinking about my life, the better.
I don't want to have to confront my own emotions. Like, let me just keep delaying.
Right now is terrible.
Little background. It's, we did talk about journal a little bit, so hopefully we'll get to it.
We'll get back to journaling.
Continue. Go ahead.
I started journaling actually.
At the back home?
Because it was so bad, because I was like, I need to figure out work. I need to figure out grad school. And there was no like therapist or anything, and I can't really like open up to my parents because there's just so much has happened and there's other kids that are also going through like the same thing, which there was a bigger divide also because we're all going through it differently. So I just go to work,
or we don't know how to open up.
One point I was like, I'd go to work, I'd learn how to drive in the morning, go to work, and then work on my portfolio at night. That's
three
it
things.
And then you sleep and then repeat.
Go out to restaurants on the weekends. Because I know I want to go to grad school now. So I'm like working on my portfolio, working on my essays. I remember like even Christmas was like the saddest Christmas because like...
You're just stuck in this...
Yeah, it's the same
loop,
like, routine.
Loop.
So yeah,
and,
yeah.
And I think December 31st was the deadline for a lot of these grad schools.
And you have to...
So I'm like, I gotta keep doing it. So I did the same thing. And I'm just sitting there. I'm like, I look... Okay, and I can... Again, I can joke about. But things, like if I really sit down and think, I'm like, my God... I'm like,
it would break
fully
you.
Fully depressed.
Like,
yeah.
But
I'm just like, just let me get through it. Because again, like the next thing is maybe next year I'll go to grad school. And it was a maybe. Because again, the money, the stuff. So the thing that I got to learn, and I would say, when a lot of grad schools, like master or architecture, is not STEM accredited.
As well?
Wow. Yes. Oh. Very few, like Yale, Columbia, not
at all.
Not accredited.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then wow. I started thinking, I'm like, if I'm going to come back to America, I can't do the same one
mistake.
Year. So then that kind of narrowed down the schools. I started asking the schools, I'm like, sure, I want to come to grad school there, but is your master's degree accredited? No. Yeah. I'm not even going
to
consider
not
it.
Even like not. Even knowing how to like to ask that information.
But nobody
like,
tells you this until you go through it. Because how many international students did you know that did the Masters of Architecture?
Like, no, zero. Like it's the four majors, like doctor, lawyer,
engineer,
and or maybe like nursing.
Because so if you think about it, you would think it is.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But it isn't.
It's not.
Yeah. So
this
is actually
news. I learned that when we came back here, when we came to visit.
Yeah.
But yeah, keep going.
But it was crazy because I was looking at Columbia. Which I was just like, you know, think big and think high.
Like, yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I was like, Columbia is not accredited. I was like, great. I looked at like Michigan.
Nah.
It wasn't. I think it wasn't at the time. It was also too expensive. And I think it was just too much. So then I started to reaching out to like all these old professors, like old jobs.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, hey, I'm looking at grad school. Can you write a recommendation letter? And this is when like some people pulled up for me, like pulled through. And some people just were like, honestly, you're asking for too much. I'll give you one.
Okay.
I was like, that's okay. I'll still take the one. But yeah, so some people wrote like 8 recommendation letters for me.
Nice.
Lord have mercy.
To, like, 8 schools.
Because
cool. like,
it has to be like
one.
Different.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it
but
worked out.
You, you just want to make sure like, hey,
you cast the net super wide and then see what
then,
takes. But out of all those, so like I had a spreadsheet.
Yeah.
Man, again, the spread, you must spreadsheet. Because I was like, school. Where it is,
deadline.
Application like deadline.
Yeah.
How much it is? Is it STEM or is it not STEM?
Yeah.
Accredited.
Accredited.
Wow.
How many? What do I need? Some of them
it's
are like
super
you need.
Organized.
You have
to do that.
Because there's so many things to like to keep track of.
Yeah.
So then you have
so
to like
many.
Put them in like.
Yeah.
I only
and
started doing that with the jobs, but before
crazy.
That, I never did.
Sometimes I'm like, I've been so spoiled, like just like not to like mess up the mood, but I've been so spoiled. I only like.
Went from one thing
I only got one job interview after college.
That's wild.
And I got it.
Honestly, I'm happy for you.
Seriously.
We don't all need to go through this.
Hey, boss, I appreciate you.
Like, we don't all need to go through this. Like, I'm glad this
bro, like, real, because I was, like, when I heard his story,
my
like,
story?
Oh, man, I was like.
Hey, you think I'm about saying it to you,
right?
Oh,
man.
I think you're good. And
no.
You think I'm good.
Like,
you
I'm just here to refuel, like, to just feel like I'm still connected somehow. But, like, I would. I think I might have mentioned it, like maybe in our first or second episode, because like when I first met you like in DC like a few years back, you mentioned like about architecture, and then you mentioned I don't know if you remember, but you mentioned like it was not STEM, and you didn't know that it was STEM. So
yeah.
I think I mentioned like in the, one of the
me,
first
like,
episodes like how, like when I was talking about like you know architecture not being like a STEM, I was referring to you. I didn't say the name, but like I was like that's the person that came to mind. Like oh, she mentioned like. She didn't know about STEM, so like being able to know like is it STEM, like being able to like as a freshman to pick something that can actually like make have consequences
became,
in 4 years.
And that became a like acceptable because some schools had to apply for like to the government
to be
or
accredited,
something.
Yeah.
Like no, they had like to have to apply to be STEM, and you have to show like credits and why not?
Yeah.
So it's like
did
the
it
whole
change?
Thing. Not no, you still have to apply. Not again. Not all architecture schools are.
Okay.
So. The thing is, I also couldn't be too selective in my schools. So I applied, I think I applied to like Virginia Tech, Clemson, Notre Dame, I guess Notre Dame.
Notre Dame.
And I know they were going to do like a Rome semester. I was like, of course I have to do that.
Yeah,
so I applied to all these schools and I got in all of them except I think like one or something.
Yeah.
Which I was like, let's go.
Man.
The money.
Oh, never mind. I'll take
second
it
thing. It's like,
I've
good.
Never been happier than when I got into Notre Dame. Because I was like, I actually still have it. Like, I can still, you know.
You still have
a college
letter.
I was like,
offer letter. The like, letter of congratulations.
Yeah.
Like, kind of
they're like, we're so excited.
This is how
welcome.
Much you're
going to
pay.
Ooh. I saw 80 grand.
That's what I was actually about to guess. Like, does it sound like 80 grand? Like,
I was like, do you
it was
know
nice to
do
meet you.
Not have, and we'll probably won't have anytime soon, is 80 grand.
Yeah.
And that's just school.
Mm-hmm.
There's now you gotta do life
leaving expenses.
Living,
expenses.
And I asked him, I was like, hey, like, super excited. Like, is there any scholarship or anything? So this lady sent me like a website.
A
most of them,
having.
You have to be American.
Yeah.
I was like, thank you so much for insulting me.
No, like, that was kind of my
thought
process when I wanted to go to medical school. Like, I originally wanted to go to medical school, and then, like, I'm going through, like, these financial things, like, that I never considered. Like, oh, I want to be a doctor. I'm like, it's all a dream until you see the details.
And,
like, oh, never mind.
So this is now you're wondering, like, why is there such a disparity between the different communities
and that brings you down even
more. You're like, because half of them can't have, it's a luxury to go to school for some, for most of these things. So yeah, so, 100%. And it makes sense, because if you're going to be an international student and you want to work here, you probably should get a STEM degree, because at least you have a bigger chance to be sponsored, because you're doing 3 years versus one. Because if I was an employer, why would I hire you?
Somebody for a year.
You only got to be here for a year.
Yes. Yeah, I don't know anything about you.
Yeah.
But you said a year, and then first if you all, start in August, like H-1B, you must apply by March.
By March, yeah.
That's not
even
a full year.
No.
So you're taking a chance.
Yeah.
Unless you have some... Once you also become, like, you start working, you realize just how long it takes to train somebody.
Yeah.
And now it's half of the year that you've been...
The resources,
everything that you did for this person, after a few months, they're gone. It's like, hey, we
And now you're like, yeah, some people have been through it so much that they're like, we're just not willing to do that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And at the time, H-1B, which is still a lottery, but back then you had to prove, you have to apply everything, pay... And
yeah, it was like, you hope to be selected.
Because
if you, for premium, I think, for premium is what you would
Right away. No, premium is just like they fast track the decision.
But that's where you would pay. Yeah. I don't think we pay.
But then again, you're still paying.
You're still paying for something that,
it's not like guaranteed.
It's never.
And so thank God that now you only just apply and you find, you pay like, what, $80? And then that's when you find out is when you. You go through it.
And then
at the time,
on.
You're asking a lot for somebody who's not your parent or friend.
You feel like you're asking a lot, but they should be investing in you.
Because
if you're actually like a good employee, then you're asset to them.
And for most people, I think it's been like worth it. Yes. I would like to think that it's been worth it for me, but it's like, that's a lot to ask for somebody who doesn't know you and is basing off of like your resume.
So they would rather
to invest all these resources,
it's like people who are like, honestly, we've been burned so much that we're just not willing to do it anymore.
Yes.
Which is understandable. And then you're like on your side, you're like, please give me a chance. I just need a chance. I'm going to work so hard. Like,
I will make sure
I will sleep at the office.
Yeah.
Like, whatever I need to do.
Like, I swear there's still people that are like, please, I promise you if you hire me, but they can't see it. It's paper. They don't know who you are. They're just like, it's like, you know what? We're tired of
all of that.
All of this.
Because,
it's like, we still have a business to run. So instead of holding up to this person, let's just move on to the next who's never going to
Who's actually not going to,
require any sponsorship.
Because, one person was like, I understand what you're saying, but you're on this 1 year thing, and then before I know it, you'll need to be sponsored. Which, again, is only 3 years.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because you have to renew every 3 years, only up to once.
You only get one renewal.
Yeah,
after that,
six total years.
You need to be on a green card, or you must leave.
Yeah.
Or go to school.
Or go back to school. So you're like, I've trained you for 6 years, right? Which I'm like, I'll go back to school, but it's like, now I've trained you for 6 years, and now you're going back to school. It's just a lot. But again, you know, you got to do what you
got
to do.
So you got in what school? So you got all
Where did you go to grad school, Which one did you choose?
So Clemson. Nice. Again, the South. I was like, I'm tired of the winter. I cannot possibly, because the thought of Indiana, South Bend, horrible.
Sure, we live next to it. Midwest. The Midwest.
I've been through it. I was like, I'm tired.
And plus, you lived in Chicago. Oh, man.
I lived in Chicago.
Oh, man.
The Midwest is for you.
Seen it. I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. It's depression times five, because there's no sun.
There's no sun. For
But the thing that like made me, so it was, I was either going to look at Virginia Tech, Notre Dame, or Clemson. Out of all of those, Clemson, the graduate school like director, like called me. He was like, hey, like, do you have time to talk? And to this day, like,
director of the department,
of the graduate
director of the school,
of the graduate school of architecture. Like, these are like amazing people. So I'm working in Rwanda. I was like, hey, like, sure, I am in a different time zone, but I can talk to you at around like 7 p.m. here, which is like 1 p.m.
your time or whatever.
He's like, yeah, no worries. It's the summer. It's all good. So like we start talking. He's like, yeah, like.
I like your profile.
What? And one of my other friends that also I think got into it.
Yeah.
So she was like, yeah, just talk to him and tell him. He was like, what like reservations do you have? Like, what's making you think twice about committing to Clemson and versus? And I was like, look, man, like, I've never lived in the South. I have a perception of what that is. Maybe right. True, maybe not. He's like, that's fair. I can't really like. I can say that we care. And then I was like, money. He's like, what do you mean? I was like, I can't afford. Like, Clemson is a great school, but I can't afford. I can afford maybe a semester. He's like, all right, so how about we do this? We'll give you a scholarship and you only pay half. I was like, that's a start.
Keep going.
Okay. And then we're talking. And then my internet goes out halfway through. I was like, wonderful. He's like, so I'm like rerouting basically the whatever. And he's like, yeah, I'll just hold. He waited like for an hour.
Oh my
And then I get back on. He's like, all right, let's keep talking. I was like, okay. So after we had like a solid hour conversation about like what I want to do, and then I asked him, I was like, STEM, is Clemson STEM? He's like, funny story. We got our accreditation last summer.
I don't know, like, what kind of impression did he get from you? Like, I'll hold for an hour, because most directors of, like, a whole program, not going to hold for a whole hour.
Honestly, he's just such an, like, a wonderful human being. And
that's amazing, man.
Again, like, these things just happen. Like, I just found myself with this guy.
Just happened. Did you hear everything? Too many coincidences. You definitely need something that sparks, like, at least, like, hey, just give me hope.
By the grace of God. I was like, if everybody in the South is like you, like,
yeah, sign me up.
Yeah. So after a while, he's like, all right, like, I'll write up the scholarship thing. So he gave, like, I got the scholarship. Wow. But instead of paying 30 whatever, now it was 15 mm-hmm. per... year,
mm-hmm. which is very or like a semester, or like
semester,
yeah,
something, which was like
I still doable, like very
doable, but I have to get back an insane amount of loans, but I'll get back to you.
Yeah.
So then I had another follow up question. So I was like, hey, so and so, can I talk to you? Like, do you have time? He's like, yeah, I'm in a meeting, but if you wait, I'll call you on my lunch break.
Yeah.
Cool. He leaves his meeting. He literally grabs his lunch break in his car, and we're like on the phone for another hour.
Yeah.
Wow.
Nice. We walk through it, and I was like, all right, like, I think I have everything that I need. I'll just let you know. So I had to talk to my parents, and I was like, I got to figure out how to pay for school.
Mm-hmm.
Man. I can't ask them to pay for grad school. That's just greedy at this point. Yeah. So then I look into like private loans.
Yeah.
Man. I knew somebody who had just gone through private loans. I had no idea what a private loan. I just knew people who did like FAFSA, blah, blah, blah. But that's for
me. Yeah, FAFSA. Yeah. So then
I look into it. It was the most foolish decision I could have ever made, but it was the only way to do it. Because it was the interest rate.
I know.
You know.
Yeah.
15%. It's just a lot of money.
Yeah.
But I didn't.
And it's just accruing interest probably right away.
And I have to start paying interest in school.
And you don't have a job yet.
And I can't ask to be a graduate assistant because it's a 2-year program. And there's somebody who was already there for like a 3-year. Like, they don't know me. So, but I was like, if I want to go to grad school.
This is what you have to do.
This is the price.
Because again, I'm suffering mentally. I need to go. So like, I need something.
It's still about the next thing.
I'll figure it out.
The same thing is like, which, you don't have to have everything figured out. If you can figure out one step, just jump. Yeah. Everything else will
But
come.
Then again, I have a little bit of a plan because I shot myself in the foot. Because now I'm here and I have to pay rent.
Yeah.
I have to pay the monthly interest. And I've spent all my money on restaurants.
But did you come right away immediately? Like, did you have to start somewhere? Did you save for a little bit?
Well, I had enough saved to like buy the bed and the blah 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 and like the first 2 months of rent.
Man.
Which dried up real fast because life is really expensive.
Yeah.
But I was back.
Yeah.
And that's all that mattered.
She's like, guess who's back?
Let's figure it out.
I had to find housing. Mm-hmm. By myself in Rwanda looking for Clemson. I was like, I don't know what any of this means, but I joined like a graduate school group on Facebook that was looking for housing. Got super, like, some of them are like scams, you know this.
Yes.
And I'm like, send us deposit and then we'll show you.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I wasn't born yesterday.
Yes.
Yeah.
I've been here. I know the system.
Eventually, I got connected with this, like, it was a townhouse somewhere. Mm-hmm. When you Google map it, it's a 7-minute drive from there, maybe a 15-minute drive from the house to the college
or
school of architecture.
Yeah.
Now I didn't have a car.
Yeah.
With a bus, when I did it in real life, it took me an hour.
Yeah.
Because it was the last stop.
Yeah.
So every morning I'd have to commute for an hour for something that takes like 14 minutes to drive. But I didn't know that because again I was just excited to be back.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out.
But it turns out that two out of the three girls I was gonna be living with were in the school of architecture.
Oh. But like so many things are so lining up for you, like I'm like,
yeah,
man.
And we're gonna be spending a lot of time, and like I'm still close with some of them, and it's just like they would give me rides,
yeah,
when they could. And again, I don't want to depend on you too much,
yeah.
So then I'll wake up at like 7 a.m. or whatever, go to school again, studio.
Yeah.
So this is how I became a really great student. I was like a 4.0 like student up until I graduated, and then it went down because some things that I don't agree with, but that's fine.
Yes.
Because I would, in the morning, make my breakfast. Now I have to cook for myself.
You have a structure now.
There's it's no like, yes. money to spend like that.
Spend in restaurants, no.
Morning, I have my breakfast, whatever. Take my lunch with me. I'd be at the school up until 11 p.m. when the last bus would drop me off.
My God.
Do it again. That's an hour. Sometimes I'll be on just 2 hours both ways for something that's so stupid.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's got to happen. And then I got to be really good friends with like some of these girls, and they were like, let me borrow their cars.
Yes.
And I'm like, you're insane, but I love you.
Mm-hmm.
She's like, yeah, if you need to go grocery shopping, just grab my car.
That's amazing, man.
This is like a car that that they bought by themselves. I'm like, do you realize that, one, I'm an, like,
I'm a foreigner. Yeah.
Yes. I have, you know, they let me, like, I learned how to drive on their cars, and then I went and passed the test on their cars.
On their cars, yes.
I'm like, these people are amazing, but also that's just insanity.
Too nice. We have trust issues. We don't just give things
No, it's like human nature in general, but like.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But people here are so nice.
Like, I appreciate you. I will never do this for you, but thank you.
Well, now I'm like, I'll give a ride to anybody because for a while I did that, and
pay forward.
It sucks.
Yeah, pay forward.
Like, if you want me to drive you, even if it's like 20 minutes out of my own, I'll drive you. Because I had people who drove me on the other side of town and then went. Yeah.
This is how kindness is transferred.
It's crazy. I remember like one of my, so we did a grad school project like for my first year.
Yeah.
And my partner, I think he lived, I don't know where he lived, but I remember it started snowing and I was like, hey man, like it's going to be hard to come drive. Well, one, then I can't drive because my roommates are going to need their cars. And true. Two, I don't know when the buses will work because it's public. And if it snows in the south, I'm like, things are shut down, but we still need to work.
Yeah.
He's like, yeah, I'll just pick you up. I was like, oh, for real? He's like, yeah, I'll just come. What time do you want to go? I was like, 9. He was like, all right, I'll just come get you at 9 and we'll go to the studio.
Worked out.
Fair.
And you're like, what?
I was like, this is insane.
Man.
He came, he picked me up, we went, worked. My roommate was like, do you need a ride home? Let me know. We'll go back. Because your bus is not working.
Not working.
And I was like, I love these people. I was like, I don't know what else.
I don't know how to pay you. Like,
but he's like, I literally have nothing. Yeah. But I'll say my thank you. And I remember the funniest thing. So I think I turned like 20-something.
Mm-hmm.
Five. I don't know what year. Mm-hmm. I turned and they found out that it was my birthday. Yeah. I was like, yeah, we should go.
Something.
Oh my God. Dinner, that's amazing.
Blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yeah, like we're planning dinner. And like, again, it's like a class of 30 people. We're all in the graduate school.
Dinner.
Yeah. Like, yeah, I'll just... Whoever can make it, I'll ask him, I'm like, are you going to come to dinner? We're going to go to Greenville. And yeah, we'll see you.
Keep asking. Yeah.
Yeah. So I had to go home and change. And my roommate was like, yeah, we'll just drive you since we're all going home.
Mm-hmm.
I walk in there. My whole class surprised me. Yeah, I'd never gotten a surprise party in my life. I was so surprised. Like, I don't know what to do here.
Probably like teardrop. Probably like.
I started crying. I was like, I don't know what to do.
Yeah, that's amazing.
All of you like gave up your studio hours to just be friends. Yeah.
Man.
I was like,
this is within the first month because my birthday's in September.
Yeah, and you just started school.
Already.
Like people
you're probably not gonna acknowledge this, but it's probably like has like a lot to show about like who you are as a person, because like they can't do all of that if you have not been.
Yeah. I just couldn't get it. I was like, this is insane.
Yeah.
Like people are just we just like partied and then went back to school. But that's also the culture of like architecture because we're all going through it together.
Yeah.
Yeah, but to this day, like, we do, like, yearly reunions with
volunteers.
With them
man.
Again,
that's,
this community. Yeah.
I think we're going to, like, Mexico in March or something together.
Still together.
Yeah.
Hey, shout out to y'all who helped Kelly. We appreciate you.
You'll never know what you do. Well, I mean, you do, because now you're stuck with me. But, yeah. So we did all that. And then the professors got really close with them. The guy that I went to his house for Christmas Eve dinner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then I went to another professor. That's the thing, too, is, like, Christmases.
You start at school, you don't have you don't have.
They're like, you're gonna be alone. They're like, unacceptable.
And they feel bad, like for you, like you don't even register.
They're not even feeling bad. They're just like, I just can't let you be alone.
Let you by yourself.
Yeah.
Like it doesn't make
any
sense.
But I've done it before.
Christmas is a big thing here. Like, even back home.
Well, Thanksgiving.
Back home, it's more like you go to church.
Yeah. And this is when you put on your Sunday's best, like your best clothes. You go and then you eat the best meal for that year, and then that's it.
That's it. But I hear like just come hang out, do this and do this. That's totally the same thing. I'm like, these people are amazing.
That's amazing. Like, so now we gotta have to be a little bit more friends, because now like I gotta take some of those like blessings. I gotta take tap into some of that, because like
you just have to be Kelly, man.
I just need like a portion. I don't need all of that. I need what 1%.
Just rub off of each other.
No, like for real. Like no, like this has been great. Like this has been a long conversation, but like I'm thirsty for more, like cause, like the storytelling and like because like it's always very
more.
Informational, like
yeah,
but in a storytelling mode, like where like you're able to like relate to folks. But so now like let's kind of like go back bigger picture, like what are some of the things you wish you could do different? What are some things you could do different if like you could see the 16-year-old or 17-year-old Kelly?
I don't know, there's so many things
or like advice.
On one end, I think it helped that I was so, like, regimented, but I was so scared of, like, disappointing, like, my parents, or, like, I just, at one point, I was too much of a people pleaser, And I wish somebody would have been like, it's okay. Like, yeah, you'll figure it out. Make the mistakes.
Yeah.
Which I made a lot of mistakes once I got into college, and even like after college especially, because I was now experimenting life. Yeah. But I wish I'd been like open-minded and being like open to like humanities and just, instead of just math and physics.
Yeah.
And just being open to people. I guess I was always open to people. But it's just like, it sounds like it's okay to make mistakes.
Yeah.
Like, it's okay. It's being a firstborn too.
But is it also a mistake though? Because this is the thing that we've been...
It makes you who you are. Most of the time,
the things that we have is based on what we've been trained as kids. Because anytime you made a mistake, you had to be punished. Yeah. Anytime you failed something, you had to be punished. But to learn something, you have to fail.
Yeah.
But we have that into a way of... Just because you failed, it's punishment. It's like, okay, now you're scared to do something because you're scared of that failure. But that's the trauma that was initiated ever since as a young kid. And these are the things we've been trying to learn. Like, how do you unlearn some of the things that have been... Like,
you have to first be aware that you have it.
I think it took... I remember one time, and I'm gonna word it in a way that doesn't insult anybody, but
I was
in high school the first time it happened, and somebody like wrote... You know, like, there's this culture of, like, writing notes. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I still have some of these notes. And one of my, like, professors in high school wrote a note. It was very nice, very sweet. And it was nearing when I was about to go to college. And they were like, love you to death. You're such a bright kid. Like, coaching you, whatever, working with you has been great. But if I have to give you one advice, is, like, get under the grip of, like, fear of, like, disappointing your parents.
They bluntly like that.
I didn't even realize that because I was like, oh, I gotta ask my parents, or I gotta ask my parents. Yeah. I wonder what my parents would think if I did this.
Yeah.
And so I was like scared to make any mistakes. I was too much like
I'm a perfectionist. Like, I gotta make sure like it's.
But I never like actually made it like said it out loud. But the fact that they saw it from just the way that I acted, they're like just like that.
Let go a little bit.
And I think I was like, oh my god, and like people are seeing this.
Yeah.
So then it started opening up a little bit. And that's when I was like.
You know,
because you're scared, you're like, oh, I can't say this story because how does it look?
Yes.
Now I'm like, I couldn't care less. Like, I'm not going to insult somebody, but I'm like, that's just what made me.
Yes. Sorry. If you don't understand, I'm sorry, but this is for me. So yeah, so little
things like that. And then the other thing is, honestly, just figure out, like, don't be scared to just jump into it, but also have a little bit of a plan. Because had I known about this whole thing.
About STEM.
Accreditation of like.
Accreditation. Granted, I do not regret, like, to this day, Clemson has my heart. Like, that's why I'm, like, football and everything. Cause
is it Tigers?
So much. Yeah.
Clemson Tigers?
Because, like, I learned so much, and I went through so much to get to there. And even while there, I went through even more stuff. I almost dropped out. But it was, like, I learned so much because I went through all of that.
Yeah.
And it made me who I am, and it, like, I don't think that I would have the job that I have today if it wasn't for that.
Yeah.
But it was also would have saved me so much headache. Just understanding, seeing a roadmap, like, just so you know.
These are the things
Bachelor of Arts, here's what you're going to do. If you get a Master's of Architecture and it's not accredited, you're going to do this or you should, like this kind of stuff.
Like have some of the things. But you know what? I understand all that, but I feel like that's what life is. There are all the things you're never going to be able to unless somebody's willing to share.
And so that's why I'm sharing because I'm like,
thank you.
Somebody has to know.
Has some...
It's that like trauma thing. It's like, I don't want you to go through what I went through. Let me get that barrier out of your way.
The first
so that
point
you can...
being looking out for everybody else.
But like I would say this, like as you're saying this, because I don't want to lose it. But like, this is one of the reasons why we want to do a podcast like this, because then you're like, even though like, yes, you're raising awareness of like what you went through. That way they can know like, hey, it's real. Depression is gonna be real. This has some of the things that we're gonna talk a little bit about journaling, how you got into it, and how helpful what it was. But like it's all about like trying to us create like a culture of like networking at least. So like, okay, now and like we have had a guest who's in a coffee business, Kenny, like who can walk you through different things. At least you know, like we've tagged them on social medias and everything. You know somebody who you can go to who can in that sector.
That,
and then we've had Igor, like somebody else who's in like in a different I am part of it. He's part of IT. And then you've done architecture, but then like, you have all these you're starting to build like a network of people like who just don't like meet for a good time, but also like very productive and going forward conversations that can help like
help you
things.
And also making it America is all about network. Because there's no way you're gonna do it alone.
I mean, like, look at that internship you had in Rwanda. Like, you dared to, like, talk to the CEO and then...
People. Yeah.
like, yes, knowing, like, even sometimes, like, because we, you both just touched it, like, being very reserved and being holding back onto daring the some things. Okay. Now it stops us from, like, there's rich, a lot of, like, yes, taking a considered, like, risk, yeah, step to, like, email, like, a CEO. Like, oh, what are they going to think? Or, like, this is, like, yeah, I'm overstepping my level. Like, somebody just, like, emails them, like, in the American culture, like, they're very daring. They're, like, mm-hmm, dare, yeah, to do something.
The thing that surprises me, though, is the more you talk, the more I talk, the more somebody else talk. Like, we can relate on so much.
Yeah.
But we never really open up.
Didn't know.
To,
yeah,
like, you're just going through. You have to put that brave face and just pretend. Good, and yeah, anytime we meet, it's like a good time. But there is no actual conversation in terms of what's going on with you. How do, mm-hmm, I even have that conversation? Yeah, how do you even open up to say to people, like, hey, these are the things that I'm dealing with. But we only just know only to meet up when we're having a good time. We don't know how to share. Well, we don't know how to network.
Like, I don't know how you grew up, but even in family, when something goes wrong,
it's behind the doors.
It's behind the doors.
Closed doors.
Yes, like, very private. Very, like,
so going from, like, in. There's not, like, really conflict resolution. Like, mm-hmm, it's like, mm-hmm, oh yeah, there's conflict. You just, like,
stash it a, yeah, little bit. Yes.
Under the rug, sweep, yeah, it under the rug, and then just move,
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you don't know how to confront, yeah, anything. Confront, you don't know how to bring out anything that is confrontational.
Like, blow over, or, yeah, like,
and it's one little thing that drop that doesn't, yeah, even, yeah, matter much, but it just, but it's just spills the whole thing.
Or, as Americans would say, like, it's the last straw that, yeah, that broke the camel's back. Like, yeah, you just, like, and then you just lose it on somebody. They think you did something wrong, but it's, yeah, just like all these feelings are just like, and you don't have, like, a healthy way. Like, sometimes it may not even be, because I'm curious, like, in getting into areas of, like, therapy, but, mm-hmm, in a cultural way. But, like, if sometimes it may not even be about, like, going to therapy, but, like, finding an outlet on how to, yeah, get just those emotions. Like, whether it's, like, through, yeah, sport, yeah, whether it's, like, drawing, whether it's, like, doing a hobby.
Healthy
that way,
ones.
Healthy ways to, yeah, healthy ways to, like,
not just, let's go out and drink, let's take shots.
Yeah, yeah. The healthy
thing
ways, yeah.
You talked about being in the moment, like, it's one of the things now that I even, every single time I have to remind myself, like, drop off your phone, be in the moment, and let's, yeah, talk about this. Because I've known also as well, like, I was also, like, somebody that was outgoing, always, mm-hmm, good. But once you go through that thing and you don't know how to express it and it becomes too much and you're somewhere that you normally used to be and be, yeah, used to be in a certain way, but you can't do it,
you
anymore.
Can't do it anymore.
And people are asking, like, what's, yeah, going on? And even yourself, you're asking, like, what's going on? Why can't I be part of this? Like, everybody,
yeah,
and now you feel like you're forcing,
now you feel
yourself,
like, you're forcing,
to
you have to
out
overcompensate, which, yes, is even more work.
Yeah,
on you.
Exactly, because now,
now
you're
just
drained
all the time. So, mm-hmm, now I'm just withdrawn because I'm like, ah, they're just gonna ask.
And
like,
then you start asking, like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah,
like, what's,
and then
going,
it becomes
on,
like, that, that loop.
So, yeah,
like, what, and to me, there's a time where I was taking, like, anytime we drink, like, I'm drinking way too much just because I want to be able
to
say
stop and, like,
I mean this. I want to be, like, feel the way I used to feel, but I cannot, because there are things that I need to deal with. There
you
are things
that
address. I
need
to pause,
yeah,
and say, hey, let's address it. How do I open up? No idea.
Mm-hmm.
Never given me, yeah, mm-hmm, never given a space. And maybe this is maybe a little bit guided towards, I don't know if it's a firstborn thing, I don't know if it's a generation thing, because of the things that we went through. Because
probably
our parents, thank God, whatever we went through with the 1994, or because they had to turn around, build,
yeah,
a family, build the country,
rebuild,
and still, like,
yeah,
rebuild
and
the country, like, rebuild,
like,
everything,
nothing,
and they still, like,
yeah,
act like nothing happened, and they have to put on that brave face. Maybe it's that, but we thank them for all whatever they,
right,
did.
Well, because how
like,
am I gonna turn around,
mm-hmm,
and
be
complain,
like, hey,
about, like, hey,
I'm in America, I'm having a really hard time because I don't,
yes,
know where I'm gonna go to school, to somebody who watched their, like, family just disappear.
Yes.
Yeah.
I don't know. How
do
you even start?
Or, like,
yeah,
somebody who's, like, who barely has any salary back home. Like,
yeah,
I wish I was in your position to complain.
To complain.
About, like, oh, I don't
being
have
American
enough,
yeah,
money,
yeah,
to do, to buy groceries for, like, a day. But I don't have any, like, I don't have enough to, like, you know, for the whole week.
To do, yeah.
Next week. That kind of thing. But I think as we're talking about this, like, I know you touched a little bit about, like, you started journaling. Like, at what point did you start journaling, and how helpful or not helpful was it?
I mean,
what was your experience with it?
How did you even start about it?
Because I was like, something has to happen.
Has to happen.
And
like,
then
there's
you started,
no way,
like,
I can just take. So it started when I was in Rwanda. Because I was so, I just had too many things, too many emotions I just didn't,
yes,
understand. And I couldn't do, like,
talk
therapy.
Yeah.
I couldn't talk to anybody.
Yeah.
So I just started journaling. I Googled something, what to do when.
Yeah.
I was like, well, you can,
wow,
work out. And I'm like, there's only so much you can work out. You gotta, like, lay it out. So I started journaling. And it would just be, like, how I feel.
Yeah.
I need to burn that journal because if anybody read it, they're like, what is going on in your God. Head? Like, yes. insanity. Mm-hmm. But then that happened, and then, like, I would... It's also up and down. It's like, I'll journal. It's like, I'm not going to journal every day. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But when I really needed to, I would just journal. Yeah. And sometimes I'll just be thinking, like, things out loud or, like, something that I remembered. And then when I came back to grad school, things were fine for the first, like, semester. Mm-hmm. The second semester, I went to, like, Charleston. We had a campus in Charleston mm-hmm. where you only had to pay for like your mm-hmm. living.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
Because I was working in the morning and then doing school, so yeah. that kind of counted as like a scholarship.
Yeah.
But then that's when I realized I was like, I'm running out of money.
Yeah.
And I can't take any more loans, so I was like, I'm gonna drop out.
Yeah.
So then I started journaling. I kind of was like, here we go again with yeah. this cycle.
Yeah. With this cycle.
So I started journaling to figure out what to do.
Yeah.
And all that. So it helped to like put what I'm thinking on paper. Mm-hmm. My thing was like, what do I do with it now?
Yes.
And it's still to this day, I'm like, because we're so used to, there's got to be an answer.
An answer. Logical
there's,
person.
Yeah, there's a lot, yeah.
Firstborn, I promise you, if you don't Hate have it. A plan or if you don't, like, this is why we even have a hard time expressing ourselves because, first of all, emotions don't always make sense. But because it's not logical to you,
yeah.
you can't express it. Can't it's like, I don't know what it. Else to say. Like, yeah. I'm feeling this way, but I don't know what to do about it. To you,
and if
like,
I get okay. to the point where I can express it, I need an answer.
I need an answer right away. Yeah, it's like, but guess what? Sometimes guess it's what? Just about,
yeah.
just it's okay to feel
it's
it.
Okay.
It's okay to just feel well, like, okay.
But it was, for me, I was like, it's not okay. It's got to be something.
It's got to be an answer. What do I do
what's
about
the point?
It? What's the point?
Yeah.
Man.
So yeah, wow. so then I would like go journal and then it would be out and then like, journal okay. again.
Yeah.
But then I also think that it's what's really nice about having an American friends is that they're very open about how they feel.
Yes.
They're very open with their feelings. I'm like, I love these people.
I love before yeah. went for me. And I promise you, I'm sorry for whoever I ever judged. Anytime you meet a white person yeah. or somebody, they tell you their lives immediately.
Yeah.
But that's a way to connect.
It's
like,
great.
Can we
yeah.
talk about something instead behind? Of like yeah. yeah. It's like, what do I need to know about your life? Like. To me, that always been like, what the hell are we talking about? Like, that's too much. That's mm-hmm. too personal. Yeah. That's worse.
TMI, TMI.
Yeah,
you know,
like, now I'm like,
but now I'm like, can we just talk about something like, yeah. that is more real? Tell me about your life. Tell me about things that went on. And I'm sorry for whoever I ever judged. But
I mean, at first I was judging too. Now I'm like, I will do it.
We're like, we'll listen.
Over again. Can
we'll listen and we judge.
Real?
No,
listen,
yeah.
We judge.
We used to listen.
We used to listen.
Now it's like no longer judge. Like, we have evolved. Like, we listen, we don't judge.
People are figuring it out. You have a way that you've been raised, you have your own yeah, background, well, yeah. you have your own environment, you have a way of thinking. Until you get exposed to more, then that's all thing you
then
know.
You see there's more out there than just one way. Yeah.
Yes.
So yeah, so that's how it kind of helped me, and then obviously like the world kind of fell apart.
Yes. Yeah. I feel like that's how it is. Like things yeah. have to completely fall off so you can rebuild. But now you rebuild with
I mean I've rebuilt
mindset.
So yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. yeah.
Man, so how did you get out of Clemson? How did it
so
go
Clemson
eventually?
Were when I was in Charleston, that's when I realized like unless I figure out a way to pay less or more,
mm-hmm.
I'm gonna have to take a gap year in between my 2-year degree.
But that means you have to go home.
I have to go home, and that's not happening. So yeah. then so funny story, I was going back to Clemson to get received an award or something.
Look at you, 4.0 GPA.
I was like, hey man, I need to talk to you when I'm there. The same guy.
The same guy, mm-hmm. director, yeah.
He was like, all right, what's up? I was like, look, I have no money.
Yeah.
And I might have to drop out.
Yeah.
And I can't finish school.
Yeah.
And I'm still, like, doing really well in, like, my projects and stuff.
And you're getting awards. Definitely doing well.
Yeah. Case in point. Case
yeah,
in
so
point.
So he's like, all right, like, thank you for telling me. Like, we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
So in the meantime, I applied for this. There was this place, like, this architecture firm was doing a diversity scholarship. So it's, like, if you submit your project, mm-hmm. you do, like, a little, like, interview thing. There's, like, a whole thing. And then you get, like, 20 grand for the first place or 10 grand.
Wow.
Towards school, so I was like, wow, that sounds like something
like life-changing.
Neat, yes.
So I applied, I sent in my project, my partner and I had done this project, which was a great project, and then I made it to the second round, where I had to make, like, a video and explaining all of it,
mm-hmm.
and this is, like, a national competition, so it's, like, one of, you know, I was like, I my life depends on it,
yes.
so I must, so I did that, I think I made it to, like, the top two or top something, but I didn't get it.
Okay.
All that so I was like, exposure. Oh man, I might actually have to drop out. But wow. what it did is like when I got the rejection, I was like, oh, thank you for letting me know. I'm really disappointed with this, but yeah. hey, I'm looking for an internship this summer.
Yes,
man.
If you have one, would love. to intern with said company. Mm-hmm. And then in the meantime, the guy that I had reached out to was like, all right, like, I'll give you a graduate assistantship program mm-hmm. that yeah. will help
can
you.
Help
like,
a little bit. Yeah.
You can pay half yeah. again or whatever instead yes. of the full. I was like,
people are that helpful. Kind of works. Yeah.
I had to get extra money, like somewhere. Extra loans somewhere. Yes. Which, again.
But not as much.
Whatever. Mm. Yeah, instead of getting like 40, 15%. I got half or whatever. Yeah. So I get my summer internship. I go was Peace. In DC.
Yeah.
I mean, I worked. This is when I had like, what is it? Imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Because now I'm like, I'm working in this company with really smart people who are like truly changing the world. And I'm like, how did I get here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Man. See, like, with everything that you went through and you still go to somewhere.
You still have some of those doubts.
But you still feel like I don't belong.
I'm like, I feel like I don't belong here.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I was like, you made a mistake. Because again, these people had probably planned for like, we're going to get this many interns.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And now I'm like, just throw my name in there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So boom, now there's up. Like, yeah. But had a great internship. Yeah. Worked on actual projects.
Yes.
And I think these people kind of knew me. And I was really quiet because I was like.
But. Your work spoke for itself. Because
I'd been through it again.
Yeah.
My work spoke for itself. I was dedicated and everything.
Yeah.
Halfway through, like, before I went back to grad school, they're like, yeah, let's just, like, debrief on the internship. Before I left, they gave me a job offer. They're like, I was like, you do know that I am international. They're like, yeah, we'll cross that bridge when we get there.
Hey!
I was like, okay.
Bro, I'm out here so hyped, like, it's, like, just happening right now. Like,
I was on clouds. Yeah. I was just like, I can't touch the ground because I was like,
you know what came to mind right now?
You don't have to think about STEM again. No. You don't have to think about
well, no, I still do.
I mean, you still do.
To some extent, but I was like,
job offer.
They're like, yeah, yeah, no, like, job offer. We understand about, like, you're a great worker. We love your work ethic, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, whatever. I love these people.
Yeah.
And they're international, so they have, like, other, like, offices all over the U.S. Can. So I was like, so 2019, I'm going back to grad school. Like, I have a job lined up that's unheard of.
Man.
But I was like, this is amazing.
Yeah.
I go back to grad school. I finish. I didn't even like apply for jobs. It was like,
I already got something in the pocket.
I've accepted something Ooh, that I wanted. Wait. I don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. 2020.
Yeah.
Pandemic.
COVID. Oh my God.
I was like, here we go again.
I was about, before it got to 2020, I was like, the first image that came to mind was like Pursuit of Happiness. Will Smith, mm-hmm. when he gets that job, all the grind had been doing, and then he gets it like in the, like, he wants to cry. Like, I don't know what to do. Like, I got the job. I've been like,
that's my favorite movie to watch when I'm way down.
When you're down.
Like, it's like something that just reminds me.
Like,
of
just
that
gives you like, ending. Yeah, it's like whatever better days are ahead.
There's better days ahead.
But then so you get to better, ahead. And you're like, this is amazing. And then
it's
like,
always going on. It's like a cycle.
And then pandemic.
Yeah. This is why I say back to journaling a little bit. Anytime I go back to it and I actually read a few things, it just kind of reminds me like, okay, mm-hmm. good. You know what? There's ups and downs. It's just a matter of how you deal with
it. And I always make it through.
You just need to remember. It's like, I'm down. But guess what? It's temporary.
Mm. Yeah.
How do I be again? And how do I be in the moment to say, how do I embrace what I'm going through right now?
It's really hard to embrace it, but you know that something better is probably coming.
Yes.
But sometimes it looks like there's nothing coming. Like this whole pandemic thing.
It's a learning
moment. It looked very gloomy, huh?
Like, really 2020 comes.
Because all of a sudden, I've turned down every job interview that
because
I could.
You have
which, like, I wasn't turning it down, but I was like, yeah, like,
show me something
I will talk
better.
To you anything.
Yes.
Yeah. But I was like, not even better. I was just
I can't
like,
commit
I'm,
yet to like.
I was just like, I'm honored that you would, you know, consider me, but I've already committed to another place. I'm open to something maybe in the future. Mm-hmm. Like, I would not turn down the
don't shut.
Stay not closing doors.
Never close a door. Never close a door. You never know.
You're killing dropping gems.
Listen, never close a door. That's my one thing.
Yes.
But so, and people are like, oh, that's good to know. I'll just take a business card. But then the pandemic happens. The job wasn't off, but it just kept getting like pushed back.
Yeah.
Now I had applied for my OPT.
Yeah.
So what did you, when did you graduate? Like,
I graduated May 2020.
During COVID. Your last classes were online.
Yeah, we went to spring break and never came back. But this whole time, I'm pretty sure I know I have a job.
Yes.
So like, I'm just like, so I applied for my OPT. I was like, I'll start in June.
Yeah, again. Because
I have a job.
Yes.
The OPT comes. Guess who didn't have a job? Because they're like, well, we can't really
know what's going on. Yeah, as well.
We don't know when they're like.
Nobody's closed.
Nobody. And
I remember,
office design. Nobody's going to the office.
Yeah.
So like, I would see with and like. It's really hard, but I would sit with, like, my...
The clock starts.
The bosses, and they're like, we're so sorry, but we...
We can't do anything. Clock starts ticking. 90 days.
So now
countdown.
I'm like, No, the 90s start. I'm stressed. Like,
here we go again.
Anxiety, and people are like dying left and right.
Yeah, COVID.
But you, like, I'm selfish here. Like,
trying,
like,
I don't even know what to do here. I need a job. Yes. So I start going everywhere. I was like, I flew to Chicago for interviews. I went to Atlanta. I went to DC. And I was in South Carolina at the time. Because again, I had signed a lease that ended in May because I had a job in DC.
To move DC, yeah. back to
now
DC.
Now I don't have anywhere to go, but I also don't have anywhere to live.
Yeah.
In South Carolina. So my friend, she was like, oh, I'm going to go back home to my folks and wherever she lives.
Yeah.
Do you just want to... She didn't even charge me. She was like, I mean, I'm still going to pay for it.
I'm still going to pay for it. So you just pay utilities.
So I moved all my things in my car, and I just went to her place. And her roommate had also, like, they're all gone. So I was just, like...
By yourself.
Got the whole place.
For, like, 2 months. But then I started to do the math, because I was like, my passport is expiring.
Yeah.
My driver's license is expiring.
Yeah. You can't renew without a job.
I can't renew without a job or OPT card that I didn't have.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to leave South Carolina while I can before I'm stuck, because I also can't fly.
Yeah.
So then I was like, hey, thank you so much, but I'm actually going to move out.
Yeah.
So I packed up my car again, moved to DC with a cousin of mine that was living like by like downtown.
Yeah.
In a little studio. We, like, shared a bed. It was this is too big already.
Yes.
It was probably, like, half of this, but she was like, yeah, I mean, come. Because I was like, I'm looking for jobs.
Yeah.
So I just fly up and down, and some things went down, and when I had to leave, because, like, her landlord found out.
Of course. They're very strict when it comes to that.
But it was more like, oh, COVID, you're exposing other people. I was like,
what?
I was staying in the apartment. Like, I'm not even leaving, but hey, if you feel that way, whatever. Sure. So now I have to figure out another place to go.
Yeah.
While all of this is happening, the clock is ticking. It is now
countdown.
August. My thing runs out in like
September something.
I think it was running out in like October.
Oh, October. Yeah.
Okay. No, okay. September.
Yeah. Something it's about your birthday, your birth month, huh?
September. Yeah.
It's always September. I'm like
something about your birth month.
Yeah. It's great. Great things happen, but also some other things. So then after
this is
I get 2020? Kicked out, this is 2020.
I went through the most. Did I come for your birthday in 2020?
Oh, no, 2021.
Oh, that's when you traveled. I remember. Yeah. I remember.
Because 2020 was the trenches times five.
Yes.
So yeah, so then I moved out, went to crash on like my other like cousins. Mm-hmm. They lived up in like Maryland.
Yeah.
I was like, can I stay? Because I did a call. I was like, I understand it's COVID. I swear I've been careful. I'm not going now. I'm just trying to find a job.
Yeah.
They're like, all right, you can come crash with us. But just so you know, we're moving state by the end of
this month,
September. No, by the end of August. I was like, that's okay. I'll just keep looking and then I'll apply for apartments because I'm hoping that I will have a job.
Job by then, Hope.
So I'm looking, hope.
You never lose
I never had a job. August came and went.
Yeah.
And now I'm like, the clock is truly ticking on my time in the U.S. I think I had I don't know, a week left. So I moved with them to the different state.
Because
I was like, I don't know where to go.
I just need a roof.
I left my car parked there
mm-hmm.
in the streets because nobody's ticketing anything. Yeah. It's COVID. Mm-hmm. Nobody cares. I moved with them. I'm still applying. I'm like, I would have sent applications. I applied to maybe 500 places.
Yes.
It was insane. It was the people with, and all of them were like, it's COVID. What are you doing?
What do you want? Yeah,
please stop.
Nothing else we can give.
But
only so IT was hiring, by the way.
Everything went remote.
Yeah. I was like, this is when I wish I should have done IT because what a.
But guess what? You stuck with it. Keep going.
Yeah, I'm stuck with it. So then eventually, I think I had about 5 days left.
My God.
Literally to the last breath.
To the last breath. I did some, like, I even asked my job that I had gotten. They're like, I was like, I can volunteer. I don't even need like,
because
volunteering counts.
It counts, yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
You didn't know?
Yeah.
Because volunteer. The days stop counting because volunteering is something. Like, because they're not
really,
going to give
not
you
an
extension
that.
For STEM, but.
But what they will do is volunteer.
Yes,
yeah.
Volunteering.
You can volunteer for a year.
Unpaid for internship, like anything that you can do.
As long as you're.
As
working.
Long as you're working and they actually sign something, like because you still have to show to the school that you're employed.
That you're doing all that.
But you're not getting paid or you're volunteering. They're going to sign it. They're going to be okay. It stops your days for
getting a full-time job.
It stops your days of expiring of like because you're 90 days, the unemployment days. Like you who do.
So you can still wait on your OPT. You can still look for a job.
You can still look for a job.
But
why are you volunteering?
Your OPTs are running out.
So it's a way to trick to say, hey, I have something that I'm doing, even though I'm not getting paid. But it's a way to say, let's stop the clock.
Because not all of them pay, but as long as you're
Working on anybody who can sign it.
I know a few friends who had to go to 7-Eleven and get their uncle signing that they had.
Honestly, yeah, you just gotta prove that.
But the only thing is, what happened was, I feel like this phrase came up many times. Once you do the H-1B and there was like something about 7-Eleven, they reject it or something, you know. Because then they're like, oh, what was that? Like, now RFI. Yep. It's like, explain this,
can
how
you
did
explain
this.
Explain why you're doing
at a how it was related to your major and what your field of study.
It's like that. That's where it becomes. But if it's something that is actually genuine and it's actually that you can justify how it's connected, you still stop the days and you won't affect your H-1B as long as it's related. So it's, if you're running out,
this is new.
Five days,
but like, do your research. Yeah.
Yes.
So I'm not, like, I literally could see the clock and my parents were like,
come home.
There's no way you're spending all this, like, you're doing all this. I'm stressed all the time. People are dying left and right in the U.S. COVID is a real thing. They're like, just move back home.
Yeah.
Like, at this point, you've tried your best. America is just not for you. And I was like, there's no way on God's earth.
I've just gotten
a master's degree. I've done all these things. I had a great job lined up. And I'm, because I knew if I leave, I'm done.
Yeah. This is a goodbye. There's no way.
Yes. There's no more. Unless you do grad school. And even then, there's, I don't know.
It's I'm not, extra, I'm not PhDs, becoming a, I think is
yeah,
the main
that's
thing.
That's wild.
Yeah.
So, Mr. 4 degrees here.
I mean, yeah. Unless it's unless it's the last option. But I was like, oh my god, because then you gotta go through the same thing. Because now I have loans, that I need to pay.
Because I was gonna ask, like, if you leave the country, like, can you just like dip like that?
Gotta pay. No.
Are they gonna let you leave the country?
If you can leave and let them come back,
but you never, ever,
like, sayonara.
Wow. Okay. By the way, before I come back to the whole COVID thing, there was something a mess up with my taxes when I was in. Do you know the one job that I held in Georgetown?
Yeah.
So the accountant messed up something. I thought I was covered, but I was fine. I did my taxes. The guy was like, oh yeah, they didn't pay this and that. I was like, interesting, off of my 30 grand salary, but okay. So I paid it and then moved back home.
You pay taxes on 30,000?
I mean, you got to. Uncle Sam got to hit his cut.
Yeah.
But you already, like,
it was wild. But so I owed something.
You owed something because of the way they charged you or the way they paid you.
Yeah.
But something got messed up and I thought I had it back, you know, you all good to go, move back home.
Yeah.
I got a letter from the U.S. government to my parents' mailbox.
What? Yes.
How they know that, in I don't Rwanda. Know, but they're like, this is how much you owe.
Yeah, you had to pay that.
Man! They found you.
They will find
you. Oh, Lord have mercy.
I'll find you.
So IRS will always find you, huh?
IRS.
Don't play with the IRS.
Be under some
rock.
This is something I feel like we haven't really, because we're going through stages by stages in terms of the life in America. We haven't covered the taxes yet, but this is another big subject that we have on the line that is going to come. How much you have to pay for every year when you file, how you get that 1,000 back when you in school. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, like, because when you're in school, you get 1,000 back. Did you know that?
I didn't know that until after I finished school.
Oh my god!
That could have helped a lot of rent.
Like that, those are the things that helped me through those months of unemployment, because you can also backdate a few days. We started the podcast a little bit late, but hey, any international student here in school, you can get 1,000 back as long as you can prove that you have a social security and you pay tuition. You get $1,000 back every year.
It's a 1098
I never told
T-form.
You because I knew you were not going to give me my money, about pocket money that I needed. Yeah. So I stuck that up. It helped. Yeah. But we're going to cover taxes. Stay tuned.